Markets rebounded slightly this morning after a week of sharp declines. Investors are sounding alarms that a trade war with China could lead the U.S. economy toward a recession. That would be bad news for the president's re-election bid, which is why critics like comedian Bill Maher are rooting for a downturn. Here he is on HBO's Real Time earlier this month.
I've been saying for about 2 years that I hope we have a recession. And people get mad at me as Sean Hannity thinks I'm actually causing a recession. I do not have this power, but he seems to be wanting to blame it on me like I'm a genie. I can make it happen. I'm just saying we can survive a recession. We've had 47 of them. We've had one every time there's a Republican president.
Our next guest cautions against ever cheering for a recession to defeat a president. Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, and he joins us as he does each Monday. Hey, Derek.
Hello.
So Bill Maher is obviously a comedian. How seriously are the non-comedians among us actually rooting for a recession to hurt the president's reelection?
That's a great question. And there's no formal polling that I can point to quantify the popularity of the pro-recession sentiment. So let me just put it this way. I had heard a couple of my personal friends, whom I would never write about for The Atlantic, sort of say amongst themselves, I'm personally hoping for a recession because I think it will doom the president's chances of reelection. Then I hear Bill Maher say this. Then I see some New York Magazine writers essentially having this Q&A where one of the writers at New York essentially says, I don't think it's so insane to root for a recession, given the fact that it would likely doom Trump's chances of re-election. I keep talking about it with some other journalists who I won't name, journalists and other people who work in politics, and they seemed extremely to defend the position that it's totally fine to sort of root quietly for a recession, given how important they believe it is to kick Trump out of office. So I don't want to make any sort of presentation of the popularity of this position as if I know that, say, 25% of Democrats are secretly rooting for a recession. I do not know that. This is a mix of a couple of celebrities saying it out loud and a couple of non-celebrities saying it behind the scenes.
But on the politics of that, doesn't it sort of play into the president's argument that his opponents in politics and media are, in fact, rooting for a recession and it could hurt Democrats in some way if you're seen as being the party that's cheering for a downturn?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. You know, I think that right now, for better or worse, but certainly for worse, we live in an age of negative partisanship where the party out of power seems to always root against the success of the party that's in power. Very famously, in, I believe, 2010, Mitch McConnell said that his number one goal as the head of the Republican Party in the Senate was to destroy Barack Obama's chances of reelection and make sure that he was an unsuccessful president. So I don't think it's just Democrats rooting against Trump who have invented this idea that it's appropriate to root against the party in power if you dislike their policies. I think it's a little bit older than that. At the same time, though, I think it's really important to point out, as long as this idea is anywhere in the ether, that recessions are really, really bad, and that I don't think it's moral at all or ethical at all to even quietly hope to create for a recession, which would essentially create a lot of the inequity and the misery and the chaos that Democrats are seeking to avoid by winning in 2020.
The Trump administration, we should say, has been pretty forceful in their defense of the economy and the president's economic record, downplaying fears of a recession. Can you remind us sort of what the evidence says right now about how likely a recession is or not?
Sure. The short story is that the domestic economy is doing really well, and everything outside the U.S. domestic economy is looking very topsy-turvy. So if you look at some measure of consumer strength within the U.S., you're going to see a lot of really strong measures. You've got low unemployment. You've got rising wages, especially for those at the bottom, which means that you're making progress on wage inequality. You're also seeing that the consumer feels strong. He and she are shopping a lot at retail stores. Walmart is really bullish on its chances for the North American market. At the same time, you look internationally and the Eurozone is a mess. And you see a lot of countries, a lot of sort of almost every single rich developed industrial economy is growing very slowly or barely growing at all. And then you have China, which is seriously, it seems, decelerating in terms of its growth. So that's pretty much the picture. Everything inside of the U.S. looks pretty strong, and everything that touches on the international economy looks like it's weakening.
You also make the point, though, that recessions aren't just about the economy. They can also affect other priorities like immigration or the environment.
Yeah, so I think that what's interesting is I think a lot of people that I had spoken to who said that they were quietly rooting for a recession essentially made this case, which I think is understandable. They said a downturn is going to come anyway. No business cycle lasts forever. So we might as well have a recession now when we have a once-in-a-species opportunity to arrest Trump's deregulatory policies and establish some laws and rules that are going to rein in climate change. And it's like, yeah, I totally get that argument. But I think we're forgetting what happens when a recession hits, and that is economic concerns overtake everything else. Like right now, in a Pew survey of public priorities among Democrats, people are interested.
We're just going to have to wrap it up. But thank you so much. And you can read more about his piece at The Atlantic. Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.